we all know the famous Medrash in Hallel, Vayar Hayomra Vayanos, that the sea saw something and split, and the split happened from what it decided. So what did the sea see? What did it find that allowed it to split? What was the re'iyah that it had in front of its head? And the answer the Gemara gives is the coffin of Yosef HaTzadik, the Aron of Yosef HaTzadik. We saw the Aron of Yosef HaTzadik and decided it was going to split. But this doesn't make any sense at all. How does a sea decide to split? How does a sea have a decision-making ability, bechira, to be able to decide whether or not to do it? We hold that animals don't have this bechira, this type of bechira. Humans, only humans. Now you're telling me that not only an animal, but an inanimate object like the yam? So the typical answer you hear is malachim. I don't think that helps. A malach doesn't have the ability to decide. The malach of the sea had the ability to decide whether or not it was going to split for Bnei Yisrael. That doesn't make any sense. Again, a malach doesn't have that. An animal doesn't have it. The sea doesn't have it. So what does that mean? So there's an answer given by Rav Schwab, which I'm not going to get into. Rav Schwab's answer is an amazing idea, and it's a derech that involves Maisa Bereishis, that during the first 6 days of creation, when things were still in the midst of being created, and Shabbos stopped that, then everything in the world, including inanimate objects, had bechira. That everything was there for them to decide what to do. Thus, you get all those midrashim, the midrash of the sun and the moon was arguing that it was the same size as the sun. You have the midrash of the grasses deciding to be, each one of them, to be separate. You have the fruit trees that were deciding whether it wanted to be osepri limino. You have all the different aspects of animals getting the command of Puru Revu. Even the snake, I mean, the nachash should be the Raya Gemura, that animals had free will before Maisa Bereishis ended. That somehow during those 6 days of creation, everything was given a choice. Something was put inside their heads. They had the ability to make decisions, and they're truly alive at that time. Later on, at some point later on in our world today, when there's renewal of Maisa Bereishis, when Maisa Bereishis is renewed, when there's miracles happening, crazy miracles happening, things that show that it's not running naturally, that nature is not just running its course, then these miracles allow for the inanimate objects that are involved in the miracle to have that free will. At that moment, Tzvardea could decide if they were going to jump inside the oven or not. At that moment, Klovim dogs could decide if they were going to bark or if they weren't going to bark. At that moment, everybody, everything is given. And thus, the Yam got to make a decision as well. The Yam Suf could decide, do I want to split for Klal Yisrael? The Ovdei Avodah Zarah that Klal Yisrael were, or do I not want to split for Klal Yisrael? Which one do I want to do? Hayom Rav Ayanos, it decided after seeing Yosef HaTzadik that that's what I want to do. That's a second answer. And it's a tremendous answer. It's a yesod, a real yesod. And there's ideas that one can understand through that medrash and through that idea that Rav Schwab is talking about that help us understand where we are today. But there's a third answer. And I heard this from 11 years ago. Years ago. Ravali 11, Marashiva and Shari Tvuna. Years ago, he told me this. And it really fits. It's such an unbelievable answer. David HaMelech says that Hashem wears nature as a cloak. Ota or Kasalma. Ota or Kasalma, that it's as if he's taking the ore, the light of the world, and using it as a cloak around him, that nature and the whole natural world is the levush, the clothing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's how God lets us see him in a way that's physical, without us having to get into a metaphysical type of world. He allows us to see him through there. The Chazon Ish, who truly belonged in the times of the Rishonim and his writings. If anybody's read Emunah U'Bitachon, his writing is the writing, it's indecipherable for most people. I can't really understand it. We're so lucky that we had him in a time that's so close to ours. He taught us that the reason for this is nature does exactly as Hashem wants, exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told it to do. Do this and it does it, which is obviously the greatest quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tamidus, to do something constantly and to be consistent in where you're going and what you're doing. We're told that the Korban Tamidim were part of the reasons that the world came. We fast when the Korban Tamid stopped. When we stopped bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar and the Tamid Shel Bein Arvayim, that became a fast day for us. It became a fast day. It's something that we sit there and we say to ourselves every single day, we need that consistency to go through. There needs to be a reason to break, a reason to go off. But obviously there's something there. There has to be something around there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses nature in that fashion, uses nature in a fashion that's so simple. To be constant, consistent, I think is the proper word over here. He allows it to be that way. And he wants it. He wants it to be that there's never a break in the system. That the world started on the seventh day of creation, on Shabbos, and it goes all the way until now, 5778. As smart as we think we are today in our abilities to manipulate nature and use things in this world for our own purposes, we can create things, we can make things happen. Ancient Egypt was much better than us. Ancient Egypt understood things that we will, it doesn't look like we're ever going to come close to. We call it magic. Lechoshim, lahat, the lot. We see those types of words, that's what they had. But what they used was forces of nature that were there for the taking, manipulating them for their forms of use. Yes, we do the same. We make electricity happen. We allow there to be a concept of electricity. We have computers, which are absolutely unbelievable. But they were able to take forces of nature and change them. Change them. They could turn staffs into snakes. You call that sleight of hand? There might have been some sleight of hand involved. But they saw snakes slithering on the ground. There was no 4D. There was no extra little like camera angles that were making it happen. They saw snakes crawling on the ground when beforehand there was just a staff. They could see things in the stars and the constellations that we have no clue about. This is not astronomy, it's astrology. They were able to see things up in the stars that we have no idea what they were doing. They could show you exactly what was happening at every time, what's going to be in the future. And yes, they messed up once in a while. They messed up once in a while. Sometimes they didn't see exactly what they were supposed to see. There were mistakes that were made. But they understood these tricks with a nature that we have no idea. We're coming close. We have some abilities to do these things. But to take the matter that we have in front of us and to change it into something else, we don't have that ability yet. We don't have what the Egyptians had. They were more powerful. See, the reason why they were so powerful, they saw how powerful nature was. They didn't believe in a god on top of nature. They said, the natural world is really all there is. They celebrated and worshipped nature. The Yamsuf was their god. Paro was their god. The sheep were their gods. These were the types of things that ran their economy and allowed them to live normal lives. This was their god. Gold was their god in Baal Tzephon. They believed in these types of powers. They believed there was something there, and that was exactly their problem. What one would say, probably I would assume, is the problem with scientists today, what they can't do. They have borders, limitations. Limitations, and say, we can't go past this. The Mitzrayim, and by definition, by the way, Mitzrayim is the word Mitzarim, as in borders, that they're limited, they're completely closed in on all four sides. They start with a mem, with a little tiny opening, and it ends with a mem sophis. There's no opening. There's no way to get past it. It's completely closed off. By definition, Mitzrayim said there's only this and not anything else. They believed that nature was enclosed, ensconced in a little box. They could have, and everything can make sense, and everything can be understood in a logical way. There's nothing that we need to show us something more than that, and there's no God on top of it, and that was their major limitation, that they couldn't get past a certain point. When they saw miracles, they couldn't understand it as a miracle. Their Chachamim were sitting there, let's try to figure out how we could do this in our own way. Is there anything that we can understand from this? Kriyas Yam Suf was a Kaddish Baruch Hu showing them, publicly committing himself to Klal Yisrael, and showing the Egyptians, no, nature has its limitations. My love for Klal Yisrael is greater than my love for consistency. I do want the world to run the way it is. I want the Yam Suf to run in its natural course, or whatever this was, the gulf that was right there, for that to run in the normal way. But nonetheless, if my B'nai Yisrael needs something, I will supersede all those laws and allow something to happen. That's something that Mitzrayim wasn't privy to. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't fathom it. When they saw the Yam Suf split, can you imagine? The Ramban says it, and it's based on Rabbi Yochanan's statement in the Medrash. The greatest miracle that happened in Kriyas Yam Suf is that the Mitzriim walked in. Why would you go in? That's crazy. Why would you do it? Reish Lakish says they were forced in by the clouds. That the clouds, the darkness around them, pushed them in, and then all of a sudden the lights were turned on, and they found themselves in the Yam Suf. But Rabbi Yochanan says they walked into the sea. They walked into the Yam Suf. Why would you do that? It's because they honestly believed. The wind came down. There's a natural way for this to happen. The Yam Suf split, and that makes sense. And they probably even convinced themselves this makes sense. Even with all the makos that happened, everything that happened, they looked back and they said, that could be natural, and that could be natural, and that could be natural. This is just nature exerting its forces on us. This is the way it is. And they understood it that way. It's unbelievable. So what did the Yam see? The Yam saw Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik, who was filled with Kedusha. Yosef HaTzadik, who had a situation that not very many 17-year-olds would be able to handle. A situation where a woman who was, by all accounts, at least had chayin, if not very, very beautiful, I don't know for sure, but at least had chayin on her, is going after him day after day after day. A good-looking boy, thrown out by his family, not being looked for, on his own, and does everything in her way to get Yosef to agree. And naturally speaking, there is no way Yosef could hold out. There's no way. And he superseded his nature. He beat his natural inclination. He destroyed it. And he said, I know what I should do. I'm not going to do it. And he jumps up and he runs out naked. He runs out without clothes on. He runs out without clothes on. Think about that. He knows how much trouble he's going to get into. He realizes what's going to happen if he gets caught. And at the moment of truth, he says, I'm going to push myself past this. I know I can't. I know that naturally I shouldn't be able to do it. But he pushed himself past and he went above nature. And for that, the Yam Suf sees that if your love for God can allow you to go above nature, then I, for a Kiddush Hashem, can allow my, whatever it is, the law, my decision to supersede nature. We were zocha to get this cloak of nature revealed, shown, this love for us. That's more than anything else. This is what the Yam saw more than anything else. So you ask the question, how could the Yam Suf make a decision? How could the Yam Suf possibly make a decision? Typically speaking, nature doesn't get to make decisions. The world runs as is. Nature runs normally. There's no real decision making in any which way. But in certain instances, there are ways, and this is not to do with Osam Isabresh, it's a different derek than how Rav Schwab is saying it. In certain instances, nature must make a decision. Do I allow myself to be overcome by something else that God wants? And in this case, it happened. That's exactly what happened with Yosef. It's not just a history lesson. It's not just something that we learned in the past and it goes through. We don't realize how many times a day this happens for us, where we overcome our natural inclination and become greater, become better for it. I know that we want to quickly eat without making a bracha, but I stop myself and I make a bracha. I know we want to run out after we're finished because we've got stuff to do, but I stop and I bench, even if it takes me 3.5 minutes. I sit and I bench. I know that I'm tired and I don't want to get up, but I need to get up. This is obvious. I know it's hard, but this is exactly what the Yom Suf was about. I don't want to say it in the way of like, if Yosef HaTzadik could do it, surely you can, because that's ridiculous. No one's going to be Yosef HaTzadik. That's impossible. But on a smaller level, I think we can if you overcome your natural dislike for a person that you really would normally have nothing to do with. You don't like this guy. There's nothing I like about this guy. Like, everything he stands for is something that I hate. But you somehow overcome that and start to like him. Show some type of affinity toward him. That's special. You just did something beyond your normal capacity. If you have financial limitations and tzedakah, a tzedakah organization or somebody comes to you and you go above your means to give him, that's an unbelievable ability. Now, as I was writing this, a person came to the door, Mishulach, I said, I don't know what gave you siyata dishmaya to come at this moment as I'm writing this line in my what's it called, in my sheets. I'm going to give you a lot more than you expected, because that's tremendous siyata dishmaya. Give the guy $1. So you go one above, just a little bit above. You encounter, again, I'm saying this, you encounter a difficult tosfos, a tosfos that you could not understand, that you couldn't get, and you sit there and you just try and you push yourself past your normal limitations. And you say, you know what, I'm going to get this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to understand this. You push yourself past, at some point there's a trigger, something goes off, and all of a sudden something comes, there's a floodgate that opens and everything goes inside. So again, to answer the question, it's simple. The sea is given Bechira at this moment to make a decision that would allow Mitzrayim to see something they could never expect. The sea makes a decision. So funny, right? Mitzrayim thought that the river, the Nile River, was a god and got to make its own decisions. So it was shown the Nile River couldn't. The sea could. The sea was able to make its own decision. It's so unbelievable. The one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show is that nature can be suspended. Inanimate objects can be given the ability to make a decision. And without a question, I think it's obvious. The lesson behind that is, if an inanimate object is given the ability to make that decision, at times of need, at times of where it wants something, something happens, then there's no question. Every single person here has the ability to make a decision and fulfill that decision. We were given that ability to choose. We are above nature. So you can't allow your nature, your base, your whatever your abilities are, to rule over you. You have to push yourself past that. You're better than that. You're greater than that. And for that reason, you have the ability to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu proud of you. You have the ability to have that writing in the Torah. You are Haymayv, Ra'a Yam Vayanos. What did the sea, what did the future Yamsuf of La'asid Lavosi, it saw Ploni Almoni, doing something and overcoming his nature and becoming something better than that. That doesn't mean that he's going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. It could, but it doesn't mean he's going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. It means he did something that allowed his nature to be suspended. That, and only that, is what causes our future Geula. So try more than that. I think that should be obvious to everyone. But to try just a little bit harder to make that happen.